your Bible with you, you want to open it up to Genesis chapter 39. Just put a finger in there, in that chapter there, because that's where we're gonna kind of camp a little bit this morning. But the title of my message today is "Escape It or Embrace It." Okay, escape it or embrace it. I want to talk today about the tough seasons in life. I want to talk today about when we're going through those trials and testing times, when we're facing hardship and struggle, when we're facing those moments in life where we feel weak, where we don't necessarily feel strong enough to handle what is going on. Being honest this morning, when I go through them times, really my feeling is I want to escape it. I kind of want to know where the exit is. I kind of want to get out of those moments, because I don't really know many people who relish the situations in life that they don't feel strong enough to handle. I don't know many people who say, do you know what, I just absolutely love being in a place of weakness. I love it when it's so crazy and it's kicking off and I'm in over my head and I'm frustrated and confused and delay and struggling with delays and disappointment. And you know what, it's great, I love it. Most people are like, oh, I want to get out of it. I want to escape it. I want to know where the exit is. But I want to ask us a question this morning. What if those times in our lives have the potential for us to experience God doing some of his deepest work in our life? What if they're the moments when God can really do, there's kind of potential in their moments for God to really do what he wants to do in our life? And what if that is the case, even though naturally when I go through tough times, I'm saying, escape it, is there a way to embrace it? I mean, is that even possible? To actually somehow embrace those times. In Genesis 39, we plug in a little way into Joseph's story. Okay, and Joseph is in the midst of a really tough and challenging season in his life. By this time, he shared a dream from God, and it was from God, that he's had with his brothers. But you know the story just by means of recap. You can read it in your own time from Genesis 37 on. He doesn't, rather than handling it with humility, he kind of, you know, he mishandles it. He blurts it out to his brothers and that, hey guys, you're all going to bow down to me one day. And, you know, he puts himself kind of at the center of it and doesn't handle it very well. And he sees a snapshot of the future that God intends for him, something that God wants to lead him towards. But he kind of doesn't handle it. And what becomes clear is that God's kind of got some work to do in this guy's life. God's got some kind of developing to do in him. He's going to shape him. God said, hey, this is the future you're moving towards. But if I'm going to get you there, there's some development and there's some shaping and there's some refining and there's a process that you're going to kind of go through on the journey. And so God needed to grow him, develop him, and shape him. And as we see this story unfold before us, we see the story of a man who goes from the bottom of his family to the second in command of the most powerful nation in the world at that point in time, which was Egypt. He comes to rule in Egypt. He comes to save a nation from starvation. He comes to prevent an economy from crashing. And it sounds like a great story. I mean, there's a Hollywood script right there, rags to riches, as you look in from the outside of kind of like from the bottom of a family to the second in charge of a nation. But then you read what this guy goes through. You know, when you really kind of look into it, you read what he goes through, and it's just like, whoa. I mean, this guy lives through the most intense time of challenge in his life. He really goes through a difficult time on the way to the place where God wants him to be. And it's that journey from where he was to where God wanted him to be that fascinates me. See, if I'd been living Joseph's story, I'd have said, I want to escape it. If I'd have been living in it, by the time we reach Genesis 39, he shared it with his brothers. They've turned on him, beat him up, chucked him down the bottom of a well. They plan to kill him, end up selling him into slavery. And that's how his story begins. And this tough season breaks out immediately in Joseph's life. And you can think what he's thinking. Yeah, woo, this is great. Probably not. You know, he's thinking to himself, whoa, I thought God had a plan for my life. Where is God in this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I having to go through this? Is what God put in my heart ever going to come to pass? Will I make it through this process? Get me out of here. I want to escape this. But little did Joseph know at that point in time, and now we can look back on this story, this was the beginning of a process of a deep work of God in his life. It began right there. Genesis 39, verse 1, and I'm reading from the ESV today, said this. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Just pause right there. We're going to go through the story. The first point I want to say to you this morning is this. What can look and feel like punishment, God can use for preparation. What can look and feel like punishment, God can use for preparation. Joseph is sold into slavery, but God is at work in his life for greater things. I can't imagine this was the dream start that Joseph had in mind. I can't imagine that when God put that dream in his heart, he said, this is how I want it to break out. This is how I want it to begin. But God would use this situation that he would go through in his life and turn it around in a way that I guess at the end of the story, Joseph looked back and thought, whoa, I never even dreamed that was possible. There must have been moments at the bottom of that well. There must have been moments when he found himself in slavery. There must have been moments when he found himself in prison on false accusations that he never even dreamed it could quite turn out in the way it did. But God intended one day for this man to be number two to Pharaoh. One day this man would be in charge of military operations and everything in the land, second only to Pharaoh. And isn't it interesting, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think this, but I was reading what someone was saying the other day and said, have you ever paused at that point and just thought about to whom Joseph ends up a slave to? In the plan of God for his life, that he would rise to the second in command of a nation, where does he end up? He ends up with Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian. He ends up in that place. He ends up inside a house where he's going to learn things and see things and hear things that are going to help shape his understanding of the systems and how things work in the nation. He's going to end up in a house where he's going to have insight to what it means to be a high-ranking official in that government, in that nation. You see, from the outside in, we're looking at it, we're saying this looks like punishment, but God is about to turn it around and use it as a season of preparation in his life. God would use the test that he's going to live through. God would use the trial that he's going to go through. God would use the hardships that he faced to shape him and get him ready for greater things. And what I really love, what I most admire about this guy, Joseph, is the way that he handles the tough season in his life. The way that he handles it. And it was crazy tough. I mean, I think sometimes I have things tough. But I mean, think about what this guy's going through. He's been ripped away from his family, from a father who loves him. He's been abandoned by his brothers. He's lost his freedom. His whole kind of thing that he was living through had changed the whole landscape of his life. The whole future of his life had been flipped upside down, or so it seemed, at this point in time. But it says in verse 2 this, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. The Lord was with him. Do you know, I think that Joseph reached a stage in this season of his life which was incredibly tough. I think Joseph reached a stage where he had to say, he had a decision to make. Do I go through this on my own, or do I go through this with God? Do I try and go through this on my own, the pain of it, the struggle of it, the frustration of it, the difficulty of it, or do I go through this with God? He was a prisoner now. Freedom wasn't an option. So am I going to live through this season of my life on my own? Or am I going to live through this season of my life with God? And time and time again, it says in his story as we read it, the Lord was with him. He made the choice, I'm going to go through this with God. And it was the presence of God in the midst of the hardships that sustained him. It was the decision that said, look, it's not easy, but I'm going to go through this with God. The presence of God came. The Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him and favored him and helped him. And it was the presence of God that sustained him and kept him coming, kept him going. Do you know, I think the only way that we can embrace tough times in our life and come through them is with faith and trust in Jesus. And the only thing that's going to sustain us when it's frustrating and difficult and disappointing and painful is the presence of God. Is the fact that the Lord will be with us in the midst of what we're going through. It doesn't mean it has to make sense. It doesn't mean at times that I won't feel frustrated, that I won't feel confused, that I won't feel disappointed. Joseph must have had his moments when he felt like that. But it's that in that time when whatever is breaking out around me, I have a decision to make. Do I go through this on my own or do I go through this with Jesus? With faith and trust in him. The presence of God will make all the difference in helping you get through those times. You see, then I come to a couple of kind of what seem like scriptures to me that seem so far out there when I get into the New Testament and I start reading the stories of guys like Paul and Peter who lived through intense times of persecution and suffering and imprisonment and beating and everything like that. And yet Paul, a man who knew great hardship in his life, could say this. And I'm going to be honest, this sounds so foreign to me. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. He, that's God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7, Peter said this, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How far out there does that sound? I will boast gladly in my weakness, Paul says. That word boast gladly in my weakness, when you bring that sentence together, it means this. I'm going to glory. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to delight. I'm going to find it joyful when I go through tough times. Does that sound a little far out there to you? So what he's saying, I'm going to go through it. He says, I'm going to be content in this. It means I'm going to take pleasure. Take pleasure in what? In hardships and persecutions and calamities. You think to yourself, man alive, how is this even possible? Yet somehow they've learned in the midst of the tough seasons of their life that there is a way to embrace them. And you ask yourself, how on earth can you embrace those tough seasons? They say this, it's like this. Because we've learned from experience when we've walked through these tough seasons in our life. With faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that even though I am weak, he will show himself strong. Wow. They said, we have learned from experience in our life that we will trust him. And if we will trust him, God is going to turn up in the midst of that situation. Friends, I can't explain it, except you will know that if you've lived it. And I know in my own life, there is a depth of God you only discover and experience by going through really tough times. You know, I'd love to stand up here and sort of tell you it's all going to be rosy and wonderful, but I'm sorry it's not. But what it is that Paul says, the reason I boast in it and I take so much joy is because that even though it was really hard and it really hurt, I discovered God in a way I could never have known him before. Because you see, when you are weak, then he is strong. There's a depth to discover him. The truth is that as much as we'd love it, for our faith and our trust to grow and develop in safety and security and comfort. Wouldn't that be great? How many people like me pray, Lord, increase my faith. You pray, Lord, I want to trust you more. And then you find yourself in the midst of a really horrible situation. And you're saying, God, get me out of here. God, I want to escape this. God, I don't want to live through this. But the truth is, friends, that our faith and our trust grow when we're under pressure. Our faith and our trust don't grow when it's comfortable and when it's easy going and when it feels safe and when it's secure. Our deepest faith and trust grow in the moments when it hurts. When in those moments we can say, even if I don't get it, I will not abandon my faith and my trust in Jesus. I go through this on my own, or I go through this with him. And when you choose to say, I go through this with him, faith and trust can really grow in them times. Because when I am weak, then he is strong. You see, good times are not when we really find out how much we trust God. Anyone can trust when times are good. Anyone is okay when the going is easy. But Peter talks about our genuineness of our faith being put to the test by various trials, by going through the ringer, by coming under pressure, by facing these things. It puts our faith to the test. There are the moments when I have to say, can I trust God in this situation? There are the moments when I have to say, can I trust God with my kids? Can I trust them with what's going on in their life right now, because it hurts and it's difficult and it's painful? But can I get to that place where I say, it don't make sense, God, it hurts, but I trust you? Can I get to that place where I'm going through a pain and yet I can say, God, I trust you? Can I get to that place where I'm frustrated and yet I say, God, I trust you? Can I get to that place where it hurts and yet I say, God, I trust you? I'm disappointed, there's a delay and there's a confusion, but I can say, God, it don't make sense, but I will go through this with you. I will trust you, and I will believe that when I'm weak, you are strong. And I will believe that in the midst of this, that in the midst of my weakness, you're going to show up, God. You're going to come through. You're going to show yourself to be strong. You see, in those moments in our life, it is always our trust that will be questioned. When things are difficult and it hurts, it's always in that moment that what is challenged is, can you really trust God with that? They're the moments when the devil comes and says, really? That don't look like it's going so well. That don't look like it's going to work out. Look how messed up that situation is. And continuously, he's trying to undermine our faith and our trust in Jesus. And as much as we might wish we could escape them, actually, if I can embrace them with faith and trust in him, then something deep can happen in my life. We have to go through seasons, friends, where we say, I can't do this on my own. We have to go through those seasons, because that's where we find faith and trust grows. When we say, I need Jesus. And Paul says, I love it, because if I embrace it like that, God shows himself strong. You see, the second point, and I've kind of already expressed it to you, is this: our most challenging times are some of our most opportune ones. Wrapped up within them is the possibility to discover God and his power in deeper ways. Within those times, we have an opportunity to please God and to bring him pleasure. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So wrapped up in the midst of this painful situation, this tough season in my life, what will bring God pleasure? Faith in him. Trusting in him, holding on to him. And Peter says, if we handle it right, we can bring praise and glory and honor to Jesus. Number three, pressure reveals character. You know, Joseph came under some severe pressure. He was really under pressure in this season of his life. He was really tested. Verse 6. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So she backed off. Oh, no, no. Verse 10. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, under pressure, he would not listen to her. to lie beside her or to be with her. Oh boy, he's in a season of pressure. This pressure's upon him. You know, if you look into it, and I didn't spend too long digging into it, but the general feeling is if you were a high-ranking government official in them days, you went around with a good-looking woman on your arm. You know? And so if that is the case, here's an attractive woman throwing herself at a young, good-looking guy day after day, and yet he refuses. It would have been so easy. There's no one else around or anything else like that. It could have been so easy to have gone for this, but pressure revealed his character. You know, there is nothing quite like a tough and pressured situation to reveal where you're really at, to reveal where things are at, how you handle those pressure situations in life. When the heat is on, then we really begin to see what is going on, where we're at in our lives. And the true test of character is what we say and do when no one else can see. It's what we say and do when no one else can see, when no one else is listening. And Joseph faces this character test. And what I love about it is that God's really been working in this guy and developing his character. Because he says, I'm not going to let frustration, I'm not going to let temptation get the better of me in this. He says, I can't do this. He says, if I do this, I'm going to sin against my master. And even more importantly, I'm going to sin against God. And I don't want to forfeit the future that God has in mind for me. I don't want to hurt God in the midst of this. You see, what I love about him is this. He did not live for the moment. There's something about his character that says, no, I see beyond the moment. I see the repercussions of what goes down in this. I want to just say to you, please hear my heart in this. When things are tough and pressured, don't just respond by how you feel in the moment. When you're in a tough season in life, don't just respond by how you feel in that moment. Don't just learn to respond by impulsive decisions in that moment. Don't just run with what sees or feels good in that moment. Don't let that chart the course. Don't let that make the decision. You have to see beyond the moment. There are snap decisions we can make when we're in tough situations, pressured situations, hard situations. But Joseph said, I'm not going to respond like that. I'm seeing beyond that. Because when God looks for people he can use, friends, he looks for people of character. He looks for people of character. We make a big thing about anointing, and I fully understand why. But even more important than anointing is character. God looks for people he can trust. God looks for people who do the right thing. God looks for people who know what to say no to. And Joseph knew that doing the right thing isn't always easy. The easy option would have been to take it up, to jump into bed with her. But Joseph said, no, that's not what I'm going to do in this situation. And you'd like to think that as he makes that tough situation, So, don't worry, dude. I'm going through it with faith and trust in Jesus. It's all right. Family is kids. It's all good. I've got my own and I know that feeling well. I'd like to think she's just upset that she's going to miss out on the rest of my sermon. I'm not sure if that's that's what's going on. Or maybe that is the effect of my sermon. Anyway, here we go. Okay. So where were we? It wasn't an easy choice for Joseph to make. You know, and you'd like to think to yourself that having made it, it got easier for Joseph. And you know, it was like, good job, son. You made a great choice. Things are going to get a bit easier for you. He caught a break. Okay. Well, having done it, Potiphar lies about him. Potiphar's wife lies about him, claims he's tried to rape her, and when Potiphar finds out, he chucks him in jail. Verse 20, I mean, this is great, isn't it? You know? Verse 20, and Joseph's master took him, put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and there he was in prison. How many people at this point in time would be tempted to scream, this sucks. This is not fair. I want to get out of this. I want to escape this. God, where is the exit in this season of my life? I mean, I'm working hard, I'm doing the right thing, I'm refusing to compromise my character, and this is my reward, banged up in the king's prison. But you see, you begin then to look a little bit deeper. And could it just be that even in the midst of this, God is at work? You see, what prisoners were in the king's prison? Political prisoners. What was the future that God intended Joseph to have? One in politics. One in politics. Could it just be that in the prison where people most talk about politics and things like that, could it just be possible, I'm just putting this idea out there, that in what looked like a situation to be escaped could become a training ground or a place to learn valuable lessons for the next season of Joseph's life? Could it just be that in that place that God would do something to shape him, to learn what not to do and what to do? Was it a fun place to be? No. Was it horrible? Yes. Was it easy? No. Were there moments when Joseph perhaps felt fed up and frustrated and confused and discouraged? Probably. And I don't hide those feelings well. I mean, I'm a heart on the sleeve kind of guy. I don't know about you, but if I'm fed up or frustrated or discouraged, you know, you can tell. You can tell. That's the kind of person I am. So what do we see Joseph doing in this season of his life? But he embraces it with God at his side. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. God, I'm going through this with you. Be with me. And showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Oh, friends, what a difference the love of God can make when you're going through a situation like this. And favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. Don't you just love this guy's faithfulness? God, wherever you put in my hands, I'll crack on and do it. He didn't get bitter. He allowed this situation to make him better. Whatever you put in my hand, God, I'm going to do it. Whatever comes along. And the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. In the face of every test, every trial, every hardship, he shows himself faithful to what God puts in his hand. He embraces those moments with faith and trust in God. And under pressure, Joseph grows in God. Under pressure, this man begins to emerge, a very different man, as we'll see in a minute. He begins to see God at work in his life. It speaks there about favor and blessing and success in the midst of the trial and the test. You know, if you're going through it, you can still expect, if you walk through it with faith and trust in Jesus, that favor and blessing and success can break out over that situation in the midst of what you're going through. And lastly, I want to say to you this. He was forged, not forgotten. Number four, he was forged, not forgotten. You know, so sometimes I think I have it tough. This season in his life is a bit of an understatement, really. 13 years. Do you know what I mean? 13 years. And that cheers you up, doesn't it? The preacher really got me going today. He said tough seasons can last for up to 13 years. Praise God, I won't go back there again. I know you don't mean it. How many people are great at the waiting game? How many people here have got the patience of a saint, as we like to say? I don't do waiting well. I'm that guy when the traffic starts backing up, I'm immediately getting impatient and frustrated. I'm the guy who jumps the various queues to try and work out which one's going to go the quickest. I'm the guy who gets the monk on when somebody else joins a queue after he does but gets through first. I'm the guy who races that one next door. You know, I'm an impatient person at times. I know it's something that God needs to do in my life. And I'm actually part of a generation, really, who have been raised that everything's instant and that you want it instantly. you know, from success to food to whatever it might be, to internet. You know, I mean, I just cast in my mind back the other day to the days of dial-up, you know? When you know what I mean? And if it's not there now, within 5 seconds, oh, internet's not working. I want it instant. Actually, friends, you know, the truth is we can carry that into our relationship with God. I want God to use me and I want it instantly. I want God to take me places and I want it instantly. I want to get there. I just want to be in that place. And then what we want is we want God to fast track us. We want God to fast track us to a place where we're being used. But actually, God is a God who develops people. I'm not saying that there won't be scenarios where God doesn't do that, but I want to say that I also believe he's a God who takes someone's life and leads them through a process of development. I believe he's a God who shapes people, who forges people, who develops people, who grows their character over a period of time, who works in their life, and then out of that, he brings about a man or a woman who he can trust and who he can use. Sometimes I want to be fast-tracked, yet the Bible's teaching me so much about spiritual growth in agricultural terms. Sowing seed and waiting and bearing fruit and reaping. That process of that fruit bearing, you know, always takes time. No one produces a crop overnight. If you plant it, you don't go out the next day to reap it. There's a whole process that's going on, and most of that process is going on out of sight. It's in the hidden places. It's in the times when you can't see what's going on. God will develop us, friends, out of sight. God will develop us, and we won't know what people won't know necessarily what's going on, but God is at work in our life and shaping us and getting us ready for the next seasons and the things that he wants to do, the things that he has in mind for us. And he's got great plans for Joseph, and I'm nearly done. But they take 13 years to pass, but in every one of those 13 years, God was at work. As we look back in on this story, we can see now, with the benefit of hindsight, what God was doing, how God was orchestrating, how God was working. Yet when we live in it, we can't always see it, can we? But then people on the outside can see what God is doing. People on the outside can often see how God is shaping you and working in you and God, what God is bringing you through. And at times as we go through our tough seasons, we begin to wonder, hello, have I been forgotten, God? Where are you in this? Why aren't you doing anything? Why don't I see change? In Joseph's case, why is it not getting better, but it looks like it's getting worse? God, where are you in this? And we feel like a prisoner to that season in our life. Joseph became seemingly a prisoner to a season in his life. And maybe at times he did wonder, am I a forgotten man? Hello, God, I'm the one who you dropped that dream in. I'm the one, God, who you said this to. Where are you in the midst of this? Certainly when he interprets the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, you know, and they come to him in that prison with those dreams and he interprets them and tells one he's going back to the service of Pharaoh and one he's... Yeah, it's not the nicest interpretation to have to give, but it's one that he gives because that's what God's told him to do. And he says, hey, when you get back there, cupbearer, remember me to Pharaoh. And he says, sure thing, mate, no problem. I'll remember you. What's he do? He gets back there and it says he forgets all about him. Genesis 40 verse 23, if you want to read it. Genesis 41 verse 1 tells us from that moment when he thinks just as about, I'm going to get remembered, I'm getting free, the breakthrough's coming, 2 years go by. Another 2 years in a stinking dungeon. Another 2 years in this tough situation. Another 2 years taking care of criminals. He's there on trumped up false charges. And another 2 years go by. Naturally from the outside, Joseph is a forgotten man. But he was never forgotten. He was being forged. He was being forged. God was at work in his life. And this was what God spoke into my heart. One day this week, I was praying, God, what do you want me to say? I woke up in the moment and God spoke this right into my heart. Tell them that they are forged and not forgotten. Tell them that they are being forged and not forgotten. Some of you just need to hear that this morning. And I got up and I thought, right, what does this mean? And to forge something, and this was the image that came into my mind, that image of the anvil and the hammer and the fire. And to forge something is a place in which metal is worked by heating and hammering, to form and shape and make or fashion. Under this pressure, that's what happens in there. In the midst of the fire, in the midst of the banging, in the midst of the hardship of the scene there, of the anvil and the fire. Under pressure, something emerges from that fit for purpose. That season comes to an end. And out of it comes something fit for purpose and ready for its new use and its new season. Under pressure and trial and tests and hardship, Joseph wasn't just in a tough season, he was in the refiner's fire. And sometimes we go, I'm in a tough season, but I dare you today to perhaps just consider whether that needs to be flipped. You're not just in a tough season, you're in the refiner's fire. God is at work in this. God is going to bring you out of this. This process one day will come to an end. And out of it, something or someone will emerge ready for the next season and the next phase of the life that God has for you to live. You see, Pharaoh's got all these disturbing dreams and he can't find anyone to interpret them. And the cupbearer suddenly remembers, oh yeah, that guy. Yeah, the one, he helped me out in one like this and tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, send for him. At this point in time, after 13 years, Joseph might think, poor my life, when is it going to end? I don't know, but I'm holding on in the midst of this. In a moment, he goes from a prison to a palace. Friends, hang in there. Your breakthrough could come at any given moment. And in a moment, God can move awful quick. From a prison to a palace. And he finds himself stood. 1 minute serving prisoners, criminals who are in there, and he's serving them slops and clearing up and looking after them, all of a sudden to Pharaoh saying, hey, I want to employ you. I want you to be second in charge of my nation. Second only to me. I'm putting you in charge of everything. Wow, what a turnaround. Never forgotten, but being forged. It says in Genesis 41, verse 39 through to 43, it says there, Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is no so discerning and wise as you, having interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Whoa, is that not the most phenomenal turnaround? But that's what my God can do. That's what my God can do. So if you're living through an incredibly tough season right now, that's what your God can do. In an instant, God can move if you'll walk through it with faith and trust in him. Your breakthrough can come. And Joseph emerges such a different man, and I really am. Now wheels are out and coming into landing. Because out of this, he is a very different man who emerges. At the beginning, he shares his dream and he thinks it's all about him and how he's going to accomplish something. But out of it comes a man of humility. Out of it comes a man who learned in the pressures and tests and trials of life to walk with God. Out of it comes a man who knew, I can't do anything without God. Out of it comes a man who's convinced in his heart, God can sustain me and carry me through everything. Out of it comes a man who had walked with God through it all, trusted God even when it hurt and even when it didn't make sense. Out of it comes a man who says, yes, I'll take on being second in command of a nation who frankly has treated me like this, yet I will humbly serve these people if that is what God is asking me to do. And Joseph's brothers do come and they do bow down before him, just like is seen in the dream. 13 years of hard labor, 13 years of slavery, all because of the way they treated him. All because of the jealousy that they showed him and the well they chucked him down and the slavery they sold him into. And he could have said, right now, you're going to get it. Oh, he's got power like he's never known. He could have imprisoned them. He could have tortured them. Dare I say it, he could have killed them. Do you know what he done? He loved them, forgave them. Out of it emerged a man of humility. A man who knew God's steadfast love. And the day comes when Joseph stands on the other end of it all and realizes, God, you've been in the midst of it all. God, you've been in the midst of it all. And you've worked. It says in Genesis 45, and this is my closing scripture. I'll read this real quick, just bear with me. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I'm your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. I see, God's been in it all. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to keep you alive for many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me. You and your children, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all you have. There I will provide for you. For there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see me, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see me. That is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. Do you know, sometimes it's not until you stand on the other side that you can actually see, wow, God, you was in it all. When Joseph was weak, God had shown himself strong. God had done more down those 13 years than Joseph probably ever dreamed was possible. Out of that tough season, God had raised and forged and shaped and developed a man who he could trust, who he could use to lead a nation, save a nation from starvation, and prevent an economy from crashing. See, tough times hurt. And sometimes we wish we could escape them. But if we will embrace them with faith and trust in Jesus, he will be at work. God will use it for his purposes. God will show himself strong. And he will do more than you can ever imagine. Why don't we just bow our heads in prayer? Praise God. If you're going through a tough season right now, just if you're going through a tough time or a tough season in your life, just stand to your feet where you are. I shouldn't have to appeal for this one long, because you'll know if you're going through the ringer, or if you're under pressure, or you're facing a difficult one, you feel out of your depth, you feel pain, whatever it might be, you feel frustration, whatever it's related to, just stand to your feet. Yeah, God, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters who I love this morning. God, I just want to pray that, Father, just reveal yourself in the midst of that situation. God, I pray for your steadfast love to break out as they hold on to you. God, I pray for your presence to come in the midst of that situation. God, I don't know when it's going to end. I believe it will. And Lord, I believe that, Father God, you've got everything under control. But God, while they're living it, I pray for your presence. While they're living it, I pray for your steadfast love. While they're living it, I pray for your favor and blessing and success to rest upon them. And Lord, I pray for them. That God, even though at times it hurts and it don't make sense, God, I pray that their faith and trust will be renewed in you today. That God, that they won't put their faith in me, but God, or what I've said this morning, but all the faith and trust will just be renewed in the person of Jesus Christ this morning. That they will hold on to you in the midst of that. And God, I just pray that you'll speak into their heart a revelation and a conviction that God, you're at work. That God, you will bring them through. That God, you are going to do more than they ever imagined is possible. And Lord, I look forward to God standing on the other side of it with them when they're looking back and saying, whoa, look at what God has done. God, I don't say that flippantly. I speak that in the name of Jesus. God, I speak testimonies out of these trials and tests and hardship that give you glory and honor and praise. And God, no matter how weak they're feeling this morning, no matter how much is hurting, I thank you, Lord, when they are weak, you are strong. And God, I ask you, show your strength to them. Strengthen them this day, I pray, in the midst of what they're going through. And Father, be with them. God, may this week just be a week they go, wow, the presence of God is strong on my life. And I ask it and I pray for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.